We're back. Not that we actually read anywhere. Brian Wilson in for Joe Thomas as we move along here on Freedom and Prosperity Radio. Jim Bovard, author, columnist, pundit, and inveterate hooligan, to wit, public policy hooligan, his current bestseller. You wrote a piece recently, Jim, long-term unemployment benefits boost unemployment. At last I heard, the Congress is back in session. The president's demagoguing the issue. He wants the they want this passed to restore these benefits to a million and some odd people, and the fight's begun. Your point is that the by restoring those benefits, ultimately that just moves unemployment further down the road.
Well, not only that, but one study I saw estimated that the long-term benefits increased the national unemployment rate by a full percentage. And it's interesting, if you think that's, if we had a 1% lower unemployment rate, then the Federal Reserve would lose their biggest excuse for wrecking the value of the U.S. dollar.
Right.
I mean, the Federal Reserve would probably find other reasons to sabotage our currency, but, you know, it'd be at least if they take that away from them. There are so many distortions that you get when you pay people long-term to stay out of the labor force. For a lot of them, it does not work out to their favor. If someone's going job shopping and it turns out it's been 2 years since they had a job, and the person goes to a job interview, well, what have you been doing? Well, thinking about life thanks to federal subsidies. not good. It's interesting. There's a fair number of folks I've bumped into in various events in D.C., and a number of them have been on this long-term unemployment benefits, and I ask them, what do they do? And then some of them are, well, I'm trying to start a nonprofit to help people in Africa. Okay, so have you thought about getting a job? Okay. Well, no, you know, I'm saving the world. I mean, it's there was a character in one of Charles Dickens' novels like that. I forget the name of the woman, but and it's there's you know, it just postpones people making adjustments, and in a lot of cases, it encourages people to hold out for a higher bidder who's never going to come.
Well, there is that, but I also read recently that in a brief speech on the House floor, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee was really quite excited about the war on poverty, government welfare programs. The safety net has to be something for all of us, and that the word welfare, she said, should be changed to something of a transitional living fund, because that's what it is for people to be able to live. So there you go.
Transitional living fund.
Transitional. There's no more welfare. The transitional living fund. There it is.
It's going to be a transitional living fund that helps transition people until they die, right?
Well, yeah, Jim, you cannot be here in front of all these people listening all over the state of Virginia and beyond and state that your heart doesn't pump purple slush for these poor people who are actually, to use the example of the gentleman whom you spoke about, thinking about that fund for Africa. I mean, how entrepreneurial. There's certainly an upside benefit to that.
Well, I mean, it may have been that the person was telling me that was trying to get a grant from AID,
oh.
And so which could be a real mother load, and they would never need unemployment compensation after they get their first million from the AID. So, but it's unfortunate there's so much demagoguery about the war on poverty. It's unfortunate that the politicians can masquerade as saviors when it's had so many adverse effects. I was reading the Census Bureau came out with numbers, and I guess 40% of the kids being born in this country now are being born out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the percentage of those kids will be on food stamps or Medicaid or other or WIC or what other programs will be, but it hasn't worked out well as far as so many different things. I've been reading about the education policy. And reading Obama's promises to close the achievement gap between different races of school kids,
mm-hmm.
same
mm-hmm.
as George W. Bush's promises to close the achievement gaps. And if you have such a huge difference in the makeup of the families of where the kids come from, kids from single mother households are rarely going to be able to compete with kids from married households where you've got an intact family. And it's absolute fraud for the politicians to pretend that this or that school reform can level the playing field between kids that come from such profoundly different environments, kids that come from households where the parents read to them half an hour a day versus, you know, households where they get read to half an hour every second year. So,
well, I it sounds to me as if you're setting the bar incredibly high, Jim. I mean, you know, the idea that that these types of things will all take place, as far as the psychological and sociological aspects of that. But on top of everything else, you know, I've also heard the President of the United States himself, along with the former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, point out that welfare actually creates jobs. So there's got to be a rosy future for these people, you know, knowing that as this unemployment continues, the employment figures will continue to get better. The Federal Reserve will back off its quantitative easing. God's in the heavens, all's right with the world.
Well, you know, it works out well, except for the people that bought gold.
Well, even they are perpetual optimists when they look at the unwinding of the dollar that's all supposed to take place later on this year. Then gold will go through the roof.
You know, it's an interesting thing. The favorite multiplier from the Obama folks, which I keep hearing, is that every $5 they give out in food stamps generates $9 in local economic activity. And I've never seen them explain why food stamps have a higher multiplier than people's paychecks that they actually earn.
Because they sell them on eBay, Jim.
They sell them on eBay. But that's not a local benefit. That's a national benefit. I mean, you know, that's
spreads
eBay,
around.
Craigslist. I think they've even sold them on Facebook. And, you know, every now and then someone from USDA says, yeah, we're really concerned about the fraud, which doesn't exist, by the way.
No.
It's fine to see their squirrely defenses on that, and it's amazing that the Republicans on Capitol Hill have been so lame as far as investigating something like food stamp fraud, because you could have great hearings on this. Instead, they just, I don't know what they do.
Well,
it's really hard for me to figure out what the Republicans are doing.
Well, they can't possibly take the chance of exposing themselves to criticism of being hard-hearted against, you know, single-parent houses and households, rather, and young children. You want to starve the children, Jim? I mean, is that really what we're going to go to? That's where the media would take it if the Republicans made any effort in that regard.
Well, it was interesting. I did some writing on food stamps late last year. And I was going through some of the federal data on some of the federal food aid programs, and I was looking at the nutritional numbers they have for school lunches and school breakfasts. And it turned out that for each of those, that the school kids in elementary school got the full daily amount for sugars and solid fats. So if a school kid has both a school breakfast and a school lunch, he'd probably have double the amount of sugar and fat he's supposed to have in the entire day. And this is even before dinner or an after-school snack, which a lot of schools provide, which adds another 50% of his daily recommended sugar and fat. So even before dinner, you've got 250% of your sugar and daily fat quota, and you wonder why there's some health troubles in groups that are heavily reliant on these food aid programs.
Well, personally, I think there's a diabolical connection between that particular diet, the effects that particular diet has on individual activity, and the need for greater distribution of Ritalin. Once you get that kind of activity going in the classroom, it certainly has to be blamed on something, and Big Pharma can step in and bingo.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's a funny laugh line almost, but you look at those high sugar breakfasts. I mean, Homer Simpson is the patron saint of the USDA school breakfast program, because you have so many donuts, so many of these waffles, and, you know, sugar this and sugar that, and chocolate milk and strawberry milk.
And, yep.
And I think it's a real paradox is that so many of the families that do have kids with low income are already receiving food stamps, which are supposed to already pay for breakfast. And studies have shown that you've got, like, in some places, 20% of the kids having two breakfasts, one at home and one at school. And, you know, this is going to create a lifetime job for Michelle Obama and her Let's Move campaign.
If you can. That's right. Well, I don't know about the laugh line so much, Jim. It's just, you know, the normal cynicism that we've managed to produce in some of our conversations. There's anything wrong with that. It's always a great teacher. And we're just about out of time, but thanks for a rerun with us here on Freedom and Prosperity Radio. It's always great to chat with you, and look forward to the next time around. Be well, Jim.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Brian.
Always great talking with Jim Bovard. If you have not read his books, I strongly recommend them. Lost Rights, Freedom in Chains, Feeling Your Pain, The Bush Betrayal, Attention Deficit Democracy, and his latest public policy, Hooligan. Great stuff, great reads, great learns, great points. And he's a swell guy. We've had a lot of fun and a lot of great conversations over the years. Coming up in just a moment, Judge Andrew Napolitano from Fox News. I'm Brian Wilson in for Joe Thomas. The judge joins us here on Freedom and Prosperity Radio next.
Every 15 seconds, a burglary occurs in America. Most happen between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. when you're not at home. What if a burglar